Few people have been following Illinois state government as long as Charlie Wheeler. From more than two decades at the Chicago Sun-Times to nearly three heading the public affairs reporting program at the University of Illinois Springfield, Charlie has seen the heyday and gradual decline of statehouse news coverage. For this week's Illinois Issues in-depth report, we're about to hear excerpts from a speech Charlie gave on the subject earlier this year. He also sat down to talk about the future of statehouse news with me, Brian Mackey. In 1969, Charlie Wheeler was just back from 3 years in the Peace Corps. He wanted to get into newspapers, a career he'd been pursuing since high school, and got hired at the Chicago Sun-Times. They soon dispatched him to Springfield to cover the Illinois Constitutional Convention.
When I first started, the press room was located in the state capitol in what had formerly been the Illinois State Library, and there were several dozen cubicles, each of which had one or two reporters with typewriters. So you'd walk in here to typewriters chattering away.
Charlie's been covering the Illinois State House ever since.
So it was a pretty lively place, and it was a major, major operation. There were probably 40 or more full-time reporters back then.
In his five decades as a reporter and teacher of reporters, Charlie has seen the Statehouse Press Corps strangled by twin forces of technology and malevolent ownership. He reflected on all this in a speech earlier this year at a Hall of Fame reception for the University of Illinois Springfield's Public Affairs Reporting Program, which Charlie led from 1993 until his retirement just last month. Here he is talking to a room full of colleagues and former students about how he landed in Springfield.
After the convention was over, they needed somebody to come down and cover the legislative session in 1971. I was the only guy in the city room who'd been to Springfield before and was willing to go back. But when I started, there were five daily newspapers in Chicago, all of whom had a bureau here in Springfield. There were two St. Louis papers that had a bureau here in Springfield, two wire services with a bureau. The network affiliates here in central Illinois had a bureau. There were a couple of radio networks, plus local radio stations had bureaus. And even WGN-TV had a bureau, full-time guy down here in the state capitol. That has all changed.
Charlie says one of the keys to this bounty of coverage was the fact that most newspapers were private companies owned by families.
That model is pretty much gone everywhere. They went through a phase when they were public ownership, and now they're owned by, a lot of them are owned, the big media companies are owned by private equity investors, for whom putting out a newspaper is no more different than making dog food or soap flakes. They have no sense of community. It's all about the bottom line.
It seems to me one of the key differences here is where the owners think their responsibility lies.
Yeah, I think there's a big distinction between a family-owned newspaper and one that's owned by some private equity group located maybe hundreds, if not thousands of miles away from the community that the newspaper ostensibly serves. As a matter of fact, the publisher of the Joliet Herald News, when I was a paper boy, was on my paper route. And so they were familiar with the community. Nowadays, you have absentee ownership, and now you have private equity, which I liken private equity firms who come in to the people who run chop shops with automobiles, stolen automobiles. They break them down and sell the parts. In my mind, these equity investors come in, they'll buy up some community newspaper, they'll cut costs everywhere by laying off reporters, laying off, outsourcing the printing so you no longer have printers and pressmen, and ultimately they declare bankruptcy and fold the paper.
Greedy absentee ownership is only part of the story. Evolving technology also plays a role. When Charlie was just getting started, the press room had its own Western Union operator.
Because back in those days, people filed their stories via telegraph, Western Union. And it wasn't until I had been there for probably 15 or more years that we switched to computers.
But the most consequential changes to the media brought on by technology are not in how reporters write and file stories. The more important changes are in how people consume the news. Remember that paper route?
We delivered papers after school in the afternoon because most newspapers were afternoon newspapers. And then with the advent, the widespread advent and availability of television, people didn't have to rely on the newspaper to get the afternoon news. They could get it more quickly and more up to date just by watching TV news. And so gradually, afternoon newspapers became morning newspapers. And then it was accelerated, I think, with the advent of the internet and the ability to go online and see what happened just moments ago. And that accelerated the decline, I believe, in the print media's circulation and availability.
There's also Craigslist and eBay supplanting classified ads, and the shift of advertising from newspapers to the likes of Google and Facebook. Put it all together, and according to an analysis by the Boston Globe, over the last 20 years, the newspaper industry has endured steeper job losses than coal mining.
And we all are familiar with that. We've all seen our shops been reduced. We've all seen papers that used to publish 7 days a week now do six or five.
I asked Charlie if he ever has an emotional reaction to the hollowing out of the press corps.
Yeah, I find it sad and I find it troubling because I think the success of our system depends on an informed public, not people who get their information from somebody's Facebook post because he heard it from his neighbor who overheard it at the barbershop 3 weeks ago, but from people who are there reporting and people who are committed to reporting facts, verifying the details of what they're going to be reporting, or to use one of my pet phrases, people who read the bill. They don't write about stuff unless they know what they're writing about.
I guess last question, are you optimistic about the future of State House coverage or more pessimistic?
I think it's evolving, and I think we're moving away from the, if you will, the for-profit, corporate-driven, all about milking every last dime out of the operation we can, to more a scenario, if you will, of kind of public journalism. Here in Illinois, we have an operation called Capital News Illinois. The purpose is to provide the kind of coverage that once upon a time was covered by bureaus which no longer exist. And it's been phenomenally successful. Now, that to me is a model for the future. And in a way, it's just like public radio.
I'm a firm believer in this, how important it is. And I still see myself as a reporter. And I look at you folks who are going to be carrying on this legacy. You're going to carry this forward, and it's going to be on your shoulders that the responsibility will fall to continue to provide the information that people need to be able to govern themselves.
Charlie Wheeler has just retired after 50 years covering Illinois government as State House reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times and director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. I'm Brian Mackey.